All right, welcome. This is Right One's Deploy to Mobile, Multiple Mobile Platforms. And I'm Mehul Harry. I know it's kind of late in the day. The session's not very long, so I won't keep you. But I've got something interesting I want to share about a solution that we offer and something that's very interesting for mobile developers. So a little bit about me. I am the web program manager at devexpress.com. I deal with these technologies. And today in this talk, we're going to cover creating mobile apps. What are the type of ways we can create mobile apps? Some of the challenges, opportunities. I'm going to show you a product we got called DevExtreme. And finally, we'll wrap it up. All right, so the first thing is, I like to show what it is all about. So, all right, so we've got this mobile framework that allows you to create some really beautiful stuff. And I wanted to kind of show you that, it's possible to make some really interesting, beautiful things like this, right? So mobile apps can vary a lot. And at the show here, I'm sure you've seen all sorts of interesting items. But I wanted to show you that for us, we've taken a whole framework to help you create some beautiful things like this that don't even take a lot of time and allow you to create functionality, hook it up to RESTful services, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't want to keep showing you this thing because it's got not a lot of time to go. So let's keep moving. All right. So the basic problem is right now, if you're a mobile developer, you have to support a range of devices out there. And we're not just talking about a phone. We're talking about all sorts of tablets, all sorts of sizes. And then, of course, the new player in town, Tizen. Now, there was a phone a couple years ago. There isn't. But now they actually have a real phone that they have a committed date to ship on. And as I'll mention, that there's some real opportunity with that phone as well. So there's three main ways you can create a mobile app these days. The basic way is HTML5, which just means CSS, HTML, and JavaScript. Or you can write native, which involves learning things like Objective-C or Java or C++. Or the hybrid approach, which is the best of both worlds. Because what you're doing is you're taking the capability of writing HTML5 and JavaScript and putting it into a web view. Now, most manufacturers out there, including Apple, Google, and Tizen, will provide to you a web view to run your HTML5 and JavaScript in so that your end users won't know the difference because you can wrap it up as a native app, deploy it to the store. And that's why it's really the best approach because you can monetize it and still write in HTML5 and JavaScript. Yeah, JavaScript, right? So it's not as bad as it seems. As you can tell, the good part is really small. But there's some challenges. So I'm going to talk a little bit about SMEs. Now, SMEs are small to medium enterprises, and they're afraid of apps. Now, generally, they come to you because they'll say, like, listen, we've got a mobile website. Isn't that enough? And it's not. I don't understand why you would ever think this, right? Phones are taking over the world. There are many computers in your pocket that you have all the time. You sleep with them. You wake up with them. So a mobile website is nowhere near enough. They'll say things like there's no money, there's no resources, and that's completely missing the boat, meaning so that if you have a good app, you can make money off of it. And then they fail to realize what the customer value is. And if there's one thing that smart companies like Apple have done is make us understand that user experience is everything. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the native approach. Now, because there's no one right programming language that solves everything, there's no one right approach that is right for everybody. Native is sometimes better. Sometimes you hear a lot of this, but native is better for performance. Well, what about HTML5? And the best thing that I've heard is I've talked to a lot of the manufacturers. I've talked to Samsung. I've talked to Intel. And, I'm so happy to hear because even Samsung now is just like, we ourselves, we're using HTML5. And that's awesome for the web. I'm a web guy, so I love to hear that. And they said, listen, unless you've got a reason, unless you're writing a game, you don't need to go native. And because native comes with it a set of costs. If you are going to invest, let's say you are a mobile app developer today, generally you're either going to target iOS or Android to begin with because right now Tizen hasn't launched their app store yet. That's going to happen in third quarter. And even then, they're going to go into the non-primary markets. But there's still opportunities that I think are very interesting there. The other thing is you got to learn them, right? So you got to learn a new language, and it's more time-consuming. You got to invest in some training courses. So it kind of stinks. So I wanted to show you that even native comes with a cost that sometimes isn't always better. So Bill LaBus is actually here in Silicon Valley, and I just thought his little tweet was funny. So here he says Objective-C sometimes isn't as fun, because what he's showing is a piece of Objective-C code that does the same thing as HTML CSS. And all you're seeing here is that the HTML CSS is simply styling some address lines and so forth, and the same amount of code that it takes to style in Objective-C can be a lot bigger. So as you can see, sometimes there's a cost. Now, it all depends on what you're creating. If you're creating an app, a native app, then it makes sense. But he's just saying, sometimes I really miss HTML and CSS. All right, so the other big question I always get is, you know, what about PhoneGap? What about PhoneGap? PhoneGap is okay. PhoneGap is not a user piece. It is not. It is simply providing you two main things. One, they've solved the capability of talking to native APIs. If you want to get at the camera, if you want to get at, now let's say if we're on the gear, if you want to get at the health information, they have solved that. And they've made a set of common APIs that work across all of the platforms. Brilliant. Love it. And the other big thing they provide is a way for you to package the app into a native way so that the web view can load them. And that's really nice. But they don't do anything for UI. So, for example, if you were to write a HTML5 hybrid app using PhoneGap, that's what it would look like on iOS, and that's what it would look like on Android. And in both cases, you might be proud of yourself saying, hey, I've got an app that works on two platforms. But that sucks. That's not a user experience. That's no reason to deploy an app just because you think you've got it compiled and it works. So I'll come back to this in a second, but let's talk about some of the challenges with hybrid apps. I would be remiss if I did not tell you the honest truth about hybrid apps, right? What happens is when you run a hybrid app, you actually are not using the browser. When you use, for example, Safari or the native browsers, you are getting a set of an engine and a set of performance benchmarks that you won't get when you're running it in a web view. Because what a web view does, it uses the browser's engine. It doesn't actually use the browser. And that's where the performance degradation comes in, because it's about anywhere from 50% less to, you know, 70% in some cases. So that really sucks. But I'm here to tell you it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter based on what you're creating. If you're creating a simple, business app that is showing a list of items, what does it matter? What does it matter if you have hardware acceleration or so forth? Now, in terms of some of these problems, I listed them all mainly because I wanted you guys to be aware that those things are happening out there, but they're also getting solved with each release. So I don't want you to be too scared. So I still feel that it is possible to write an app once and deploy it easily across platforms. It's not a lie, right? Because somebody said, well, why would you ever promote something when you're giving a much worse experience? And mainly because HTML5 is definitely the way to go. All right, so this goes towards some of the opportunities I was going to talk about. Now, what I mainly wanted to point out from this slide is, as you can see, Android is ruling the world right now. iOS is now taking a clear second place. But as in third place there is HTML5, right? And what's fantastic about this, and as you see from this conference, is that HTML5 is really becoming the choice. Recently, I was at Microsoft conference, and even there, they have invested heavily in WinJS, right? They're treating JavaScript as first-class citizen. just as Tizen is as well, right? So Tizen and Microsoft are kind of taking that first steps into it, and hopefully this will have some social pressure into some of the other vendors. All right, so as I mentioned, this is no way to deliver an app. If you're going to deliver an app, what you want it to do is you want it to look native. You want it to feel native. And so, you know, I'm going to show you one framework today. There's tons of frameworks out there, some of them that do what I'm going to show you today, but choose something that makes your life easier because it's about the experience, right? And if you really want to go cross-platform, have it do this. Have it adapt automatically. So you all hear about responsive. Responsive just means that it's going to respond to the browser size. But adapt means that it's going to adapt to the actual device, meaning I know I'm on an Android. I know I'm on a Tizen or a Windows phone or iOS. It's going to adapt and use the native look of that. So, for example, it should know that if you're on Android, the bar is at the top, not at the bottom. And generally, on iOS, it's at the bottom. And the reason it's at the top on Android is because they don't want to confuse you because there's the back buttons on the bottom already. And if you were to accidentally swipe up on or hit the back button, you might hit the navigation button as well. So Android wisely put it at the top. So let's do this. I want to show you a little bit about building a mobile app. All right, so I'm gonna show you something. But before I do, how many of you guys are familiar with Visual Studio? Jeez, wow, nice. Okay, I'm going to show you something we did for Visual Studio, and that's mainly because most of the customer base we had came from that IDE, so they use it a lot. But we wanted to make that story easy. But this is possible to use with anything. I'm a big Sublime fan, so I use it with Sublime a lot. But I'm going to show you in VS because we just there's a scenario that makes it easy. So let's say somebody comes to you and said, hey, I need to put some data up on the web and have it on a few of the major platform devices. What I might do is I'll say, okay, well, the first thing I need to do is create a RESTful web service, right? All right, so what we'll do is we'll start by going into here. Now, when you install this product, you get these file templates. So I'm going to start here, and I'll just call this data services, fine. And the data I'm going to use, actually, is from the city of San Francisco. The data.gov initiative from the government that opens up all this data provides useful information to us. So one of the useful pieces of information that they provide, all right, so let's go with, let's call this SF Data Service. And anyway, so the data that they're providing us here is the crime data in San Francisco. So the first thing I'm going to do is, this is just a standard wizard stuff. It doesn't really matter. As long as you have a VPC image. Unfortunately, I have not mastered that art of typing and talking at the same time. If you guys do that, tell me how you do that. So anyways, the data is really kind of interesting because it's a set of information about crime that happens in the city of San Francisco. And so I've put it in here, SFGov data. But what's really great about it, it lends itself very well to becoming a mobile application. So in my case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull in this information. It's one table. Now, as I mentioned, I simply use this because we made this story a little easier. It's completely possible, but it also demos really well, and I like it, so I like to show it. But anyways, what I'm doing here is I've got a web service. So in basically about a minute, I've created a web service that's support cores, which is the ability to modify the data even over the web service as well. So as soon as it's done, I'll show you that we'll have a full service. Now, what's interesting about it is that using this approach and this solution, I'm able to tie in the app creation, as well as the data service. And that's really important, right? Because sometimes you have a data service that's not, I'm sorry, an app that's not really aware. So let's take a quick look and just show you. I've got this simple data service. Nothing special, so let's run that. All right, so let's run that again. It just needs an endpoint. It didn't realize. So what we want to do is we want to grab this endpoint. So for example, if we were to publish this somewhere, this would be our endpoint. And it'd say, yes, I have a object for you here. It's got crime information in it. What do you want with it, right? And we can put it behind passwords and stuff. But in this case, we'll just say, all right, this is good for now. All right, now let's build the app, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click Add, and I'm going to say New Project. And then I'm going to create a multi-channel app, and we'll call it Be Safe in SF. And it brings up this wizard here, right? And what I'll choose is I'll choose the mobile approach. Now, you can choose web if you're going to go for a bigger view, for example, iPad or something bigger. Now, in this, and I've also got a couple options. I can choose navigation layout where I've got a bar at the bottom, or I can choose the slide out where I hit this button, the hamburger icon, as they say, and it pulls it out, and you can see what it looks like. So, for example, on Android, it's at the top, and iOS is at the bottom. All right, I'll hit next. Now, what it did was it saw that in my solution, I had a service. So if I click Discover, it's going to query it, and it says, oh, you've got an object in there, right? You want me to generate a view for it? And I'll say, yeah, go ahead and generate a view for it. Now, it didn't have to be that. It could have been a RESTful service outside on the web somewhere. Well, what it does is it inspects that, right? And it's a RESTful service. So it says, I see what you've got in there. I see all the elements you got in there, the available set of columns and so forth. So do you want me to generate, a model, and two, views around this model? And I said yes. So what it did was this framework has now given me this layout with where I've got layouts in CSS, and I've got JavaScript, and I've got views. So let's take a look at this. Now let's make sure our data service is running as well. All right, so I apologize, and I've got a little bit of time, so I will definitely show you guys this at the end, but I'll come back to it, because what I wanted to show you is that when you've got the views here, there's a couple other things that you get out of the box with it, right? So the first thing is we've done some things, some designer-based things like this in here, so that, all right, let's try this again. There we go. All right, so once you run it up, what happens is that this view is generated for you automatically. And what it's doing essentially is the view has gone out and queried it, right? So now it creates for me a local list. Now, what's sweet about it is this is the only framework that right now supports Tizen. And we did this actually with the help of the Tizen UI guidelines, and our designer sat down and looked at it and said, okay, well, this is what it looks like, right? So this right now is the only way if you wanted to deploy across all the major platforms. Now, right now, there's a lot of stories happening here at Tizen DevConf, right? You've got the stories of Intel's infotainment unit. You've got, you know, the Samsung Gear, which is very cool. And I like their little remote app thing. But really, if you are interested as a mobile developer to make money, this is what most people are thinking about. Well, you know, why did Samsung do this, right? Why did Samsung break away from Android? I don't know. We're going to ask them. But certainly, I think it makes sense for them because they have so many devices. They have the Internet of Things. But definitely, they also have the best phones out there, right? They have the best Android phones anyways. And so they're realizing that, listen, you know, we want to have our own look. We want to have our own control. So it makes sense for them to have this platform. So let's talk about opportunities then. All right, so just to quickly mention again, hybrid has a lot of advantages. It's cross-platform, it's a single code base, cheaper, easier, and it scales up, which is what you want. If you're going to start somewhere, start from mobile first. That is really nice, because if you were going to go down, you have to make those hard choices anyways about what do I take out. Starting from a mobile-first approach lets you decide that a little bit easier. And as you can see, the framework that I just showed can help you build once, deploy to multiple mobile platforms, write once, and allows you to target bigger devices as well, such as tablets, from the same view, including support for the Tizen phones. So it's a native UI user experience, one code base, and we integrate with PhoneGap, so you can access all of the native resources, even though it's hybrid. So and it's deployable. So I'll show that real quick because people are always asking me, like, what about when I want to build and deploy it? So If you want to build it, you can use PhoneGap. You can take the HTML set of information that you see there, load it up to PhoneGap or Cordova, and package it there. You know, if you're using this IDE, you can use this. You can package it with your certificate file. Same thing for iOS, ties in. It will build native packages right from the UI for you here. And it's got the capability, for example, to also let you set up all of the different resources that you need for this app. So, for example, there's a lot of you can define all the different capabilities this app will have. Any set of assets that you need to provide for the app can be all done here as well. All right. And as we mentioned, if you're using VS, lots of cool integration stuff built in there. All right. I don't have a lot of time, so let's jump to the opportunities. Now, the reason I want to talk about opportunities is because I heard some good stuff from Tizen. Tizen is really interesting. So right now, HTML5 is on the rise. And the reason I keep pushing HTML5 is because when I do this talk, invariably, people are like, no, but, you know, native. Look at Facebook. Even they went native. You know, they did that for a reason. And their reason was pretty much they needed a native app, right? They didn't realize it. They had an image-heavy app that just kept browsing. They needed an in-app browser. And they just realized that, you know what, native's better for us. But they mentioned that the amount of traffic that they get from HTML5 is way more than that native app. So HTML5 is still huge for them. So for us as mobile developers, HTML5 is huge. Now, first thing I want to talk about is recently Vision Mobile had this set of charts. Yes, consumer market rules the world. So as you can see here, the consumer market in 2014 right now is $50 billion, and it's $36 billion for the business side. And that's where I think, as a mobile developer, you should be targeting. Because unless you are working on the next Flappy Bird or Candy Crush, you are not going to win the consumer market. I wish I could, but generally, your expertise probably lies in the other area of making and solving problems for users. Now, and just to mention, in the next 2 years, $20 billion. $20 billion is amazing. It blows my mind. All right, so the other thing is, where is it at? Okay, most of their revenue is not actually in in-app advertising or e-commerce sales. It's in contract, right? Which means companies are looking for you. Companies want your expertise. Not just for one platform. They want you to help them deliver mobile solutions. So contract is by far the biggest for app economy revenues. Now, once again, this one is interesting. So consumer apps obviously rule the world, but business apps, that is still nothing to sneeze at, $1 billion, right? Now, granted, this platform is mostly on the iOS side, right? Meaning that there's this thing about, you know, which platform pays the most. Even though iOS is number two right now, that platform tends to pay the most. If I was a developer, I would probably start there, but then I'd want the capability to address all the other platforms that are available. All right, business apps that provide the most opportunity, right? Now, this one's most interesting because, as they say, even though there's a billion apps out there, most of them stink. Most of them don't make any money. Most of them don't get any downloads. Only the very few actually make any money. Most of them are under the poverty line. So if you're dreaming about, you know, sitting at home in your pajamas and writing apps, think carefully. Think carefully about what will actually deliver you money. Because if you choose, at your worst, as you choose a middle-range income, right, from the business side, will still deliver more than it will for the consumer side. And the high range is definitely much better. Now, what are we talking about when I say business apps? It could be anything from a custom app that you develop for a business or something that solves a business's problems. A Dropbox, Box.com, Trello, things that are helping not just developers, but people do everyday people do their work. All right, now, as I mentioned before, iOS is where you probably want to target first. And the other, unfortunately, Tizen's not there yet. They don't actually have launched their app store. Okay, so let's talk about the app store for Tizen. It's coming in the third quarter. the Samsung Z, awesome phone. It's coming out in Russia first. So I asked him why. Why Russia? Why not the U.S., right? Doesn't make sense. Actually, it makes perfect sense, right? Because they are smart enough to know that, listen, you've got a saturated market. You've got big players in the primary markets. Why would we do that? When the third world countries are primed, they're buying up the cheap Android phones, right? And that's why Android rules the world. Not everybody has a Galaxy S5. You can't. Not everybody can afford it, right? Because knock against Apple is always they're the most expensive. Not that they're more expensive. It's just that they only sell a few phones, and they're the most expensive ones. If you look at the Google side of things, their expensive phones are as expensive, but they have a wider range of available phones that run the platform, right? So in the third world countries is where the Z is going to come out, and the Z looks like a great phone. And there's going to be an app store. Now, the interesting thing is, if you wanted to target this, in the first year, Samsung is going to give you 100% of the revenues. It's probably going to cost more. It's probably going to cost as much, I'm sorry, about 30%. Sorry. Okay. So let me wrap it up so I can save some questions. When I say choose what makes you happy is because, man, people love to debate the whole HTML5 and native thing. Choose what makes you happy. You know what? If native's working for you, do it, right? I just think that if you want to go multiple mobile platforms, you want to choose HTML5. I can't think of a better approach right now, unless you like learning new languages and so forth, right? This week, Apple just announced Swift. Everybody's like, woohoo! It's still for one platform, right? It's great if you're like only writing for that platform, but I can't see why you would cut out, for example, the largest mobile platform right now, for example, Android. And Tizen is primed. I mean, Samsung has the Internet of Things. They've got the gear that you guys all have, hopefully. And they've got a vacuum cleaner that's running Tizen. They've got TVs with a browser that's got like super awesome HTML5 compatibility, right? And it's your option to write for those, and your option to, get on those app stores. Anyways, HTML5 rocks, tons of mobile opportunities. To learn about anything that I showed today, go to js.devexpress.com. And you know what? We're getting into more stuff because people are always asking me, what about things like bigger items such as a grid and so forth? You know what? We're getting into that because people are... let me ask a question. How many of you guys use Angular here? Surprising. Nice. Okay. So that's another thing is that if you don't like our framework, no problem. You don't have to use it. If you're using something like Angular, Ember, and you just want some of the widgets, you can do that as well. They're widgetizable. So, and finally... we do a bunch of things like this, but mostly we're in the UI sector. We do cross-platform mobile. We help developers with productivity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And for all of these platforms, now, if that doesn't make sense, we made a more complicated round graphic that doesn't make any sense. But anyways, come check us out. We've got an awesome bunch of HTML5 technologies. This last one is really interesting. It allows you to test using Node on any platform. So because it's Node, it does not need to run just on, and it's in browser. So it's very slick. I'm happy to show that as well. Once again, I'm Mehul Harry. I'm on the Twitters, and you can email me as well. And thank you very much. Any questions, please? Right. So those, the APK and I forget the other extensions, but they're essentially zip files. That's all they are. So they just package the HTML, JavaScript, CSS files, and then they're unpacked by whatever platform that it runs on. Right. It's not really... So, for example, when you make a native app on iOS, that's using a very native set of assemblies and so forth, right? But with the APK, if you were to look at it using some zip viewer, you'd see that there were just a set of files, the same as your current project. Right? I don't know if that helps at all. Sorry. Absolutely. So it's coming is what I'll say, right? The gear 2 is very limited, right? and you're not going to use this whole, you know, we help developers with user interface. And that's why, you know, if you were going to make a user interface of different platforms, that's where you'd come to us, right? There isn't a whole lot of UI on the gear, too, but we want to provide something that, one, helps you get started, and it helps you do things like, well, okay, you've got a set of four items, or you want a keyboard, or you want a split view or a horizontal view. You know, we're going to provide maybe some of those things. We're looking at those cases right now. Right, I am going to, I don't know if you've heard, they're doing an app challenge, right? So I would get in on it because they're offering, I think, $2,000 or something like that. So one of the things I plan on doing is using our framework to see what I can build, something very easy, and show it off, right? Because, like I said, the cool thing about the framework is it's a whole framework. You got views, you have routing, it uses, you know, MVC, so it's got a lot of cool things built right in. There is, okay, so let me rephrase what she said. She said that I have things that, like, complicated algorithms and calculations where a native application is necessary. So, one, can I still do that with a hybrid approach? And two, I'm thinking your question is, does it even make sense, right? So, or how to do it. Okay, so I would say there was a, I forget which blog it was, but there was some blog that says, you know, if it can be written in JavaScript, it will be written in JavaScript. So they have ported Quake 2 to JavaScript, right? They have ported operating systems to JavaScript. So my suggestion to you is try it, right? One, you have to like JavaScript, and not everybody does, right? Because that graphic I showed you earlier, sometimes people looking at JavaScript, that language is so weird, right? It is, but it's awesome. But my suggestion is try exactly that algorithm first, see if others have ported it, because you may be surprised. These browsers are becoming so fast, right? And I'm hoping we get to the point where those issues with the browsers are completely gone. I think 99% of them right now, you can find apps that you will not be able to tell the difference between a native app and a browser app. But it depends on the app, right? There's even some games written with HTML5. If you go look in the Expo Center in there, and you talk to all the people and say, oh, what did you make that with? They will all 99% tell you HTML5, right? Samsung, if you ask them, they say the same thing, right? It just makes life easier. Now, the other suggestion I have is if you have to do that, right, put it server-side, right? JavaScript is still client-side, so it's not going to run as fast, right? It's still interpreted. So you may want to just put that server-side somewhere on a Ruby on Rails server, whatever you prefer, right, and make a call out and say, hey, run me this calculation. It's long, takes a lot of time, et cetera, et cetera. So if there's no other questions, thank you for hanging around. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. You don't have to stay, by the way. I appreciate you guys staying. I really liked it, but go ahead. That's a great question, all right? I'll tell you a quick story first. Last week, I was at HTML5 DevConf. The question was, do we have support for Meteor.js, right? Meteor is also another different platform. I met the president of Meteor. He came by, and he's like, hey, I got to see you guys. You know, I've heard of this, and blah, blah, blah. So I showed him, and then he's wearing this silver jacket. I think he's kind of known for that. I was like, that is a cool jacket. And we talked for like half an hour. At the end, he's like, I have this policy. If somebody compliments his jacket, I give it to them. Man, that guy was the sweetest man I met that day. So nice, right? So anyways, not just for that reason, but because Meteor.js is awesome, we are already looking into it. Because we were thinking about it a year ago, but we have to, there's a JavaScript framework born every week, right? So we have to understand, where does it make sense to invest your time and where it doesn't? So when people ask, we absolutely look at it. Awesome. If there's no other questions, thank you.